Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Life and Taxes with Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins with us this morning in the studio. And as Andrew arrived, I said, March 15, big deadline day, right?
Big extension day.
Extension day.
Get your extensions in on your corporate taxes prior to the 15th. Yeah. That's pretty much the name of the game on that one.
I guess IRS is just pretty much comfortable with that.
That's right. Right.
So what's on tap today?
Well, Lockwood, we're going to take a little venture off into real property land today, and I've got a small little case out of the state of Texas. Very simple facts, but part of the reason I wanted to bring this to our listeners' attention is you know, careful drafting is necessary when it comes to, you know, giving your property through a will, through a trust. Make sure that your intent is very clear, because otherwise you get to go let the courts decide what your intent is. And that is not the situation that we want you in. That's not the situation that you want to be in. It's not the situation that your family is going to want to be in, you know, when we go to probate the will or administer the trust.
Details, 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 right?
That's exactly right. And so really what we've got here is real property interest, Lockwood. So I just kind of wanted to go over just kind of the basics, you know, real basics of how individuals can own property. Okay. First, real simple, you can own property in your own name. All right. It's called a fee simple interest in property. You then can control it. You can give all of it away. You can give part of it away. You can keep it. Mm-hmm. You can give it all under your will. That is how we work with the fee simple interest. Another way you can hold property together as tenants in common. You own your portion of the land.
Right.
Lockwood would own his portion of the land. Gotcha. We'd all have the right to use the land. And you would be able to give away your interest in the property either through a will or trust. Mm-hmm. Another way is called joint with right of survivorship. So if you own property with Lockwood, upon one of our deaths, the property automatically passes to the other individual. So, for instance, I die, property all goes to Lockwood pursuant to the survivorship clause.
All right.
All right. You can own a life estate in property, meaning that you own the right to use the property for your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then upon your death, you designate an individual for the property to go to. So for instance, I say, okay, I've got this property. I'll take a life estate in the property. And then upon my death, I want the property to go to Lockwood. That's what happens. Okay. So those are all different ways that property can be held. And keep in mind, Lockwood, when you go to give your property through a will or trust, you can only give what you have.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you've got a life estate in the property, you can only give your life estate in the property.
Gotcha.
If you've got a fee simple interest, you can give your fee simple interest. If you own it tenants in common, you can give your percentage tenants in common interest to an individual, but you can't give any more than what you have. And that's very important. And then also when you give your property, you get to put the strings on it if you want to, or get to decide how the other person gets the property. So, you know, for instance, you can give the property, I could give the property to Lockwood for his lifetime, and then upon his death to Lockwood's children.
I got you.
So that way you can kind of have those strings from the grave, so to speak.
Right.
So, you know, that's something that some individuals are very interested in is well, I want to make sure this property stays in the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance. So if that's the case, then we make sure that we give the property a certain way. All right. So let's go into the case. Let's just go into it's very, very simple facts. All right. The simple facts are just this. A husband and wife, woman dies. She owns the property in her name only.
Right.
So she can decide who gets this property.
Right.
And she says all of my real property to my husband, Arturo, to do with as he desires. Okay. Upon the death of my husband, Arturo, to my son, Eric, outright.
Okay.
Okay. So that's it. So to Arturo to decide what he wants to do with the property, and then to Eric. The question is, what can Arturo do with this property? What interest? How did he get this property?
Can he turn around and sell it?
Can he turn around and sell it? Does he have a fee simple interest?
And
or does he have a life estate in the property that would be subject to to Eric's interest at the end of the property.
None of those descriptions were provided.
So the interesting thing here, Lockwood, yeah, and this is why drafting's so crucial. This is why it's so crucial because, you know, a very simple provision in a will to Arturo to do with the property as he desires after Arturo's death to my son, Eric. Seems real simple.
Right.
This went to the Court of Appeals in the state of Texas, by the way.
I can see why.
To make sure to see who gets what.
I mean, I've got the property. It was given to me.
That's right.
So I can do with it as I want.
Lockwood, you should be a judge.
I see. Oh, boom.
So guess what? You're exactly right. That's exactly what the court said here, Lockwood. It said that Arturo got this property, and because the wording was used to do with as he desires, Arturo is in 100% control of this property. If he goes and sells the property tomorrow, only one signature will be required. It will be Arturo's. He takes the money. He puts it in his bank account. Nice knowing you, Eric. Too bad. So sad. You know, you don't get anything. Okay? But the court also said that in the event that Arturo holds on to this property for the duration of his lifetime, then we're going to let this provision in the will control to say, okay, Arturo, you die with this property. Eric then gets the property.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So that's what the court ultimately decided. All right. But how do we know that's what the wife wanted?
I know.
You know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. The facts in the case weren't clear as to how that, kind of shook down. But the fact is that, you know, if that's what she wanted, If that's what she wanted, Arturo to be able to, you know, get this property through the will and ultimately turn around and sell it and put the cash in his pocket, fine. But maybe that's not what she wanted, Lockwood. Maybe she wanted Arturo to be able to use the property for his life. But ultimately, as I said before, we want the property to stay in the family. I want my son to have that property. Mm-hmm. I want Eric to have that property. You know, it's critical the language that we use in order to make sure that the person's wishes are held to this regard. So, you know, what I would say in this, Lockwood, is that let's just say that's what she wanted. Let's just say that the wife wanted Arturo to be able to have the property for his life and go to Eric. We could do that in a couple different ways. One way is in the will, we would specifically state Arturo for life, then to Eric
right
upon his death. That's very clear that he gets a life estate in the property.
Mm-hmm.
And then to Eric. Now, if Arturo and Eric want to sell the property, they can come together. It'd be two signatures, not one.
Gotcha.
Arturo would get paid for his life estate in the property, and Eric would get the money that's due the remainder. And there's actuarial tables that tell us what percentage of the proceeds that each of the parties should get. So that would be how that would go down. Maybe we could do it another way. Maybe we could do a trust
right
document.
Mm-hmm.
And we could say, okay, let's put this property in trust. And this property will be for the benefit of Arturo for his life. But then upon Arturo's death, it will pass to Eric. So what I really want to get the point across to our listeners is don't end up in the Court of Appeals through poor drafting. Make sure that your intent is clear, and part of the way that you do that is go to a, you know, reputable estate planning. Come see us at Harvell and Collins and right, let us put you in the proper documents.
Details, details, details. And of course, we're chatting with Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins. I'm going to give you the number here in a moment, but before we do that, we've got a caller standing by. I don't think we have a great deal of time, but let me get to Chris in Harlow. Chris, good afternoon, and pardon me, good morning. I apologize. And you've got Andrew Foster. Yes, sir.
Good morning. My brother and I have sold my mom's house. We were 1% owner. She had 99. She's in an assisted living home in a memory care unit right now. She started in there with a couple of $100,000, and it's all gone. And we fixed up the house. We sold it to keep her in the place that she's in. Mm-hmm. When we sold the house, we were told by the lawyer that closed the house that she would get a 1099 for the $103,000 that she benefited on the house. And that, since she had been in the retirement home for over 7 years, there was a magic 5 years that you could move out of a house and sell it with no 1099 or something like that.
Yeah.
Is she going to have to pay taxes on that $103,000?
Yeah, so the question there becomes, you mentioned a good rule, 2 of the 5 year rule is the primary residence exclusion, which would enable her to be able to, you know, exclude $250,000 worth of gain, and obviously with $103,000 1099, she'd be able to exclude it all. The fact that she's been in the nursing facility for 7 years takes her out of that rule with regards to the primary residence exclusion. But what do you think she bought the property for? Do you have any clue?
$10,000. She built the house for $10,000, and I think it was in 56.
$10,000 in 56, and then she's probably made some improvements along the way, but trying to prove those to up the basis is going to be difficult. Chris, do me a favor. Email me at afoster@harvellandcollins.com. Let me see if I can find an exception to it. There may be a rule with regards to, you know, the fact that your mom, I mean, your mom doesn't want to be in the nursing facility, obviously. She wants to be at her home. So let me see if I can find something for you to maybe get that qualified principal residence exclusion.
Okay, that email again, Chris, we're running out of time. I want to make sure. It's afoster, F-O-S-T-E-R, afoster@harvellandcollins.com. And spell out the word and, harvellandcollins.com. And I'm going to give you the number, too. I mentioned I gave that to you a few moments ago. 726-9050. Okay?
Okay.
Chris.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Yes.
Great question. Appreciate that. That's a topic for later discussions. Thank you, sir. We'll have to, Andrew, that'd be a worthy topic.
Yeah, I'll update everybody next week regarding that, see if I can find some exclusion there
topic.
It is. That really is a good question.
Harvell and Collins, Andrew Foster with us this morning. Life and Taxes. We've got Let's Talk Legal as well, but Life and Taxes. Andrew, thanks.